The reading is from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Jesus cleanses the temple. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers in business. And when he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." So the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign do you show us since you do these things?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then the Jews said, "It's taken 46 years to build this temple. Will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Shall we pray? Lord God, help us now study your word. Help us to understand the depth of what you have to say to us. Lord, help me as I try and explain the message that you've given me. And Lord, I pray that if any of it is not of you, that you will overrule. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, in the last few weeks, we've all become very aware of our physical well-being. This pandemic has reminded us that we're very dependent on our frail bodies and need them to keep on working and fighting off illness so we can continue to live our lives and eventually get back to normal. I don't know about you, but back in February, I thought that maybe I'd already had the virus. I had a flu in the middle of February, which was quite bad. And I thought, maybe I've already had it. Maybe that's it. But as I learned more about the virus, increasingly, I think, no, that wasn't it. And so I've become very, very conscious now of every cough, every tickle in my throat, every time I feel a little bit hot. Is this it? I'm wondering, you know, is this the virus? Am I about to go down with the virus? And of course, most of us have not been tested, so we don't know whether we've been exposed to the virus and have gained an immunity or not. We have to assume that we haven't and take the same precautions as everyone else. We wash our hands for 20 seconds religiously throughout the day, and especially when we come into our houses and go out, we try not to touch our faces. And on the few occasions we do go out, we keep well away from other people. When I go out for a walk, I pass somebody on the pavement, I choose to step out into the road in order to give them a wide berth. I've even taken to holding my breath as I go past people, even though they're more than 2 meters away. And my mum, living in France, has her food delivered to her door. But when the shopping comes, she washes every item of shopping, all the packs of everything, in order just to make sure that she doesn't get germs in her house. So not only have we become hypersensitive to our own bodies, we're also very aware of other people's bodies too. It was lovely and sunny the other day, and I was sitting in my house with the window open. But through the window, I could hear somebody coughing very loudly. And so I shut the window. We are preoccupied at the moment with avoiding the possibility of horrible physical suffering, possibly even death, which could be the result of catching the virus. So moving on now to my first heading, which is destroying the temple. So the passage we read in John has Jesus clearing the temple at the start of his ministry. The other Gospels have similar accounts after the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, just before Jesus' arrest. So We can't be sure when the events took place, but whenever the events did happen, or maybe it happened twice, maybe Jesus cleared the temple twice, the great healer of people's physical ailments, Jesus, clearly had on his mind the physical suffering and destruction he was facing on the cross. For the Jews, the temple was the center of national and spiritual life. It was not only a house of prayer and worship, but a symbol of national pride and confidence, and the laws and institutions that had been built up around it. The temple had had a checkered history since it was first built by Solomon about 1,000 years BC. The connection between the temple and the fortunes of God's people and their faithfulness to God was evident from the start. When the temple was first completed and dedicated, Solomon had a vision described in the 7th chapter of 2 Chronicles, which has some resonance with our own situation today. I'm going to read this in full, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 to 20. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler in Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples." So in Solomon's vision, God is establishing the connection between the faithfulness of the people and their king to events in nature, natural disasters, plagues, and other calamities, and to the fortunes of the temple. If they're unfaithful, then they will be uprooted from the land and the temple will be cast out of God's sight. It will be destroyed. And sure enough, after a period when the people and kings of Israel had turned away from God, the land was invaded by the Babylonians. The people were exiled. And in about 600 BC, 400 years after the temple had been built, the temple was completely destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And then about 70 years later, under King Cyrus, king of Persia, the temple was partially rebuilt, but in succeeding years, it was at various times plundered and fell into decay. So as God had told Solomon, the temple of Jerusalem had become synonymous with destruction and the faithlessness of the Jewish people. There were prophecies in the books of Ezekiel, Zechariah and Malachi about the Lord coming and rebuilding his temple. And it became an article of faith that the Messiah would come and reclaim and rebuild his temple. And ironically, it wasn't until the Roman occupation and the reign of Herod the Great, the same Herod we know from the Christmas story, that the temple was properly rebuilt. This is the project which was referred to, the one that took 46 years and was completed around the time that Jesus was casting out the traders. So when in John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus answered the Jews' questions about the significance of his actions by saying, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up." For his listeners, his words were preposterous, scandalous, even blasphemous. For the Jews, he was saying that the trading and cheating going on in the temple was destroying it. And he was claiming the prophecies about the Messiah miraculously rebuilding the temple as being about him. And in the account of his trial by the Sanhedrin in Matthew chapter 26, he's accused of threatening to destroy the temple himself. The words he's accused of saying are, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." This actually is the only evidence that they can stump up to find to support their case of blasphemy. The claim to be able to destroy and rebuild a temple in 3 days is so threatening, so controversial and blasphemous because of what the temple represents to the Jews and that it is enough on its own for the priests to hand Jesus over to Pilate for crucifixion. So for many people, the main thing about events in recent weeks across the world is that they threaten the destruction of our temples today. Department stores and other businesses going bust, the stock market crashing, people losing their jobs, shopping centres, museums, theatres and sports venues closing, even cathedrals and churches shutting down. What is the significance of these events, people are asking? Some, the answer is the undermining of our national institutions, our materialistic lives, and our celebrity culture. The temples of our modern society are threatened with destruction. Moving on to my second point, which is that our bodies are as temples. Our bodies as temples. As was often the case, Jesus's Jewish questioners completely misunderstood him. And when he said, "Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up," he wasn't talking about temple building, as we learn in verse 21. But the temple building still had importance to Jesus and features throughout gospel accounts of his life. Jesus was presented at the temple as a baby and visited as a child. And it was to the highest pinnacle of the temple that the devil took him and tempted him to throw himself off so he could be saved by angels. But Jesus refused to test God in that way. Jesus often preached and healed the sick at the temple. It was the place where Jesus challenged the corrupt religious authorities and met with opposition. In John chapter 8, verse 58, when he preaches, "Before Abraham was, I am," he narrowly avoided being stoned. On another occasion, when questioned about his disciples picking corn to eat on the Sabbath in Matthew chapter 12, he explains that while important, the temple and its rules and regulations are not greater than God. Perhaps he is again provocatively referring to himself. This is the passage, Matthew 12, verse 6. "Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple." And towards the end of his ministry, he was often in the temple and preached openly and faced the growing opposition of the temple authorities. For example, in Luke chapter 19, verse 47, it says, "And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him." And even when he was nailed to the cross, mockers taunted him about his statement concerning the destruction and rebuilding of the temple. In Mark chapter 15, verse 29, it says, "And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ha ha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.'" And appropriately enough, Judas's betrayal ends at the temple. Matthew 27, verse 5, it says, "Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." And when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two, signifying the new, closer relationship we can have with God because of Jesus' death on the cross. And lastly, after Jesus has ascended into heaven, the disciples go back to the temple, praising and blessing God in Luke chapter 24. Continually, they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. But the main point here is that God doesn't live in temples, as we see in Stephen's address to the priests, recounted in Acts chapter 7. Reading from Acts chapter 7, verse 48, it says, these are Stephen's words, "However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands, as the prophet says," and he's referring here to Isaiah chapter 66, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." Those are the words of Stephen there. And this was too much for the priests, and when they heard this, they took up stones and they killed Stephen. And likewise, in John's vision of the New Jerusalem in the book of Revelation, there is no temple building at all in the New Jerusalem because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. So the temple building is merely a container for God's Holy Spirit. And as we read in John 2, verse 21, Jesus was referring to his own physical body as a temple, a container for God's Spirit, when he talked about the temple being destroyed and raised up in 3 days. And this theme is developed by Paul in 1 Corinthians, talking about the importance of looking after our physical bodies as receptacles for the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." And then also in Ephesians, where believers are likened to stones being built up into a temple. Ephesians 2:21 says that we are being built into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So it is our frail physical bodies as temples that is on Jesus' mind when he responds to his questioners in John chapter 2. When we read the passage, it seems as if Jesus answers his questioners straight away. But perhaps he might have taken some time to answer the question, "What sign do you show to us since you do these things?" As Jesus comments in John chapter 4, verse 48, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Perhaps after thinking about it for some time, contemplating the opposition he faced and how it would all end at the cross, the pain and suffering he would have to endure, praying, as he did in Luke chapter 22, verse 42, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Perhaps only after contemplating these things, he answered, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And it's a bit like this for us today. Someone asks you, "What's happening about the dream holiday you booked this summer? Or what's going to happen to your business? Or what about those cup final tickets you bought? What about Brexit?" And you might answer, after thinking about it and maybe praying, destroy this temple, and God will raise it up. It's our physical bodies as dwellings for the Holy Spirit that matter. The church buildings may be closed, but the Holy Spirit is alive and well, dwelling in the hearts of believers, and our meetings continue online. Moving on then to my final point, raising them up. The Jews had just spent 46 years rebuilding the temple, and it must have been a huge effort and an enormous cost, and been a source of great national pride when it was finished. For Jesus to say he could raise up the temple in 3 days was like a slap in the face to the builders. But of course, we know he was talking about his body, which was going to be destroyed on the cross and raised back to life on Resurrection Sunday. And we also have a hope of resurrection. Our frail bodies, our delicate health, may be under threat from this virus, but as we read in a second passage of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This puts a whole different perspective on our anxieties. Our bodies, then, are not our own. They're God's to use for his glory. So we need not be afraid if we believe in Jesus. Though our earthly bodies may fail, yet we shall never die. We shall live, as we read in John chapter 11, when Jesus comforts Lazarus' sister Martha before he raises Lazarus back to life. Jesus said to her, verse 23, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So as I close now, I just want to return briefly to the history of the temple at Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus prophesied the destruction of the temple, which actually took place in AD 70, following a rebellion against the Romans. And the temple remains in ruins today. And with the Al-Aqsa Mosque built on the Temple Mount, there's no prospect of the temple being rebuilt there in the foreseeable future. The remains of the temple at Jerusalem are special to Jews, but far more special and important is God, who doesn't dwell in buildings. Jesus described his body as a temple, and Paul described the bodies of all believers as temples, vessels containing the Holy Spirit, to be looked after carefully and used for God's glory. At this time when many of us are fearful about the future and worried about our health, it is good to remember that Jesus faced great physical suffering, but God was greater. He overcame death and was raised on the third day, as he said. We also need to not fear death. When all this is over, we have the promise of an eternal home. God is able. Next time we fear the pandemic or the consequences for our world, let's remember Jesus' words, paraphrased a little, destroy this temple and God will raise it up. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear God, as we contemplate Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross at Calvary, Help us to have the right perspective about the dangers we face, and give us the faith and confidence to know that we are God's and He will raise us up. Amen.